So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. You may be seated. So if we recall the analogy that I've been using as we go through history, redemptive history, God's history, and as the gospel light begins to shine a little more and a little more every time God acts, we see something more of His grace, something more of His goodness and power, and something more of what we will see fully in the face of Christ Jesus Himself. It's that dimmer switch. Imagine a dimmer switch in a room, and every time God acts, that dimmer switch turns a little brighter and a little brighter and a little brighter. And what we find here is after about 400 years of Israel in Egypt, we don't see any of this, or at least it's not recorded for us, God acting in such ways as to communicate something of Himself to His people. But as Moses comes onto the scene, that gospel light began to shine again and shone brighter yet. And so the glory of God that was there in the face of Christ Jesus was shown a little more to these ancient people. That glory being His power, His justice, His love, His mercy, His faithfulness, His redeeming love, His wisdom. All these things are beginning to shine a little bit more for these people. And Moses saw it, and Moses embraced it, and Moses banked his life upon it, and Moses banked the entire nation of Israel upon what God communicated to him. And so by faith we find this day, this morning here, that he kept the Passover. And so much of what Moses did, as you study the life of Moses, and so much of what he passed on to the people, was done in order for us to have, down through the ages, pictures and descriptions of the Messiah. So that when Jesus came, we would actually know and actually see and believe and understand who he is. We'd recognize him. He would be known. And so in this Passover feast and in the Exodus, we find these people celebrated it. The people of God, the Jewish people, for about 1,500 years, they passed down this festival, this feast. And it was a celebration of the Exodus for 1,500 years until Jesus, of course, our Lord Jesus, in the night with his disciples, that Last Supper said, actually, you know what? This has always been about me. This is about me and always has been about me. It's always ultimately been about his death in our place. It's ultimately been about him taking on our guilt and our sin, being that substitute lamb for us, about him consecrating us with his blood so that we might pass through the judgment of God in the final day, about him conquering our sin, him triumphing over Satan and over death. Jesus, when they had this Last Supper, said, you know what, guys, this has been about me. All this is of me. And Moses being a prophet, and Moses just being a saint in the Old Testament, surely looked beyond the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Exodus, looked beyond it all to Christ. His soul's salvation was not in the Passover. Moses' salvation was not in the law that he would mediate to the people of God. His salvation of his soul was always in the Messiah, in the person and work of Christ. He was always looking forward to a merciful, forgiving God and the coming Redeemer. He might not have seen him as clearly as we do, this side of the cross and this side of the coming of the Spirit, but he looked to that time. But there are a few things, I think, a couple of things at least here in this text that Moses had right before him as an example of how we are to live by faith. Moses' faith and those things are right before him. And I'd like to just look at two things in these two verses. In verse 28 first, by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And I want to see this as faith in Christ as our substitute. Faith in Christ as our substitute. Christ's death and his resurrection appeased the justice and wrath of God for us. And then in verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And I want to see this as faith in Christ as victor. Faith in Christ as victor. His death and his resurrection overcame every power that was against us. Satan, sin, death, even the law of God, faith in Christ as victor. Christ is victorious. We must embrace both of these. Christ as our substitute and Christ as our victor. Because if we abandon either one, we lose what the Christian faith is. And then there's a saying now that a lot of people have come up with. It's called Christus Victor, where they emphasize, so much emphasize Christ as he's victorious over all those powers that are against us because they are shying away from Christ as our substitute. That we actually are guilty, not only victims, but actually are guilty. But we are both. We are guilty before God, and so God must appease himself. Our biggest fear is the wrath of God and not the wrath of Satan. But also he is victorious over those things that try to assail us. He is victorious over our own sin and over the powers that be that try to hold us captive. And so we are to possess both of these things. Christ as our substitute and Christ as victor. And so catch us up to speed. You know the Passover story, I'm sure. The 10th plague of Egypt. And so these people, Israel had been in Egypt for about 400 years in the land of Goshen. And then we had a king that arose that did not know Joseph who brought them there. And so they started putting these Israelites, the people of God, into hard labor. And the people started crying out. And so God comes and hears and answers his people. And so he has Moses go and go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And what was the reason why God had Moses tell Pharaoh to let his people go? Was so that they could come out and serve me and worship me. They cannot worship me in a land where they are enslaved. They cannot worship me in their bondage and in their slavery. They must be free in order to worship me. And this must be the drive of everything that we see in Christ. Everything we see is done for us, freed us from. We must see that these are he has freed us and he's liberated us in order for us to go and worship him and serve him. It's not just about us getting out of hell. It's about us going to God and to magnify him and serve him and enjoy him and being in his presence and loving him. That is the thing that ought to drive us. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And this we find in Exodus 11, 12, 13, 14, as this account plays out, that this became the beginning of months for Israel. The month of the Exodus was the beginning of time for Israel. And isn't that true for us as well? Our conversion becomes for us a sort of beginning of time for us. Our new life is marked by this point, and this is when Israel, that God says, this is going to be the start of your year. This is going to be the beginning of you marking out your time from now on, your Exodus, when I set you free. And so they do this, these ordinances. They're supposed to kill a lamb. They bring a lamb into their house and they kill the lamb. They take the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorpost and on their lintel. And then they eat the lamb and the unleavened bread in their house with their cloaks on and their sandals and their staff in hand. We would say it as though they had their shoes tied and the car was running in the parking lot. They were to eat in haste because the destroyer, the work of the Lord is upon them. And so they were to eat this lamb. And they were to eat the unleavened bread. Then the Lord passed through Egypt and killed the firstborn of the livestock and the firstborn of the sons of everyone who is not marked by this blood on their door. And they were to keep this as a memorial, a statute forever, so that when their children, years and generations on, say, to ask their family, ask their parents, "Mom, Dad, why are we keeping this feast? Why are we doing this meal?" And they were to respond to their children, "This is because of what the Lord has done for us. This is what the Lord has done for me. He has set us free. He has passed us over when his judgment came. He set us free from this power that was oppressing us and holding us in bondage. He snapped our chains and let us go. This is what the Lord has done for us, and this is what our supper should do when our kids ask us, 'Mom, Dad, why are you partaking in the Lord's Supper?' 'Child, this is what God has done for me in Christ. He has set me free. He has cleansed me. I no longer fear his judgment. I am to be passed over because of his work.'" And so when the Lord passed through Egypt, Pharaoh, of course we know, finally caved in and said, "I can't bear any more of these curses, any more of these plagues." And so he let the people go. Israel left. So that's what we have going on. This is what Moses, we see his faith is operating in this in this. So the faith in Moses is a substitute. We should recognize that every home in Egypt that night, whether in Goshen, whether in the rest of the land, was visited by death that night. Not a single home in all of the land, in all the country, in all the nation was spared from death. It's either the death of their own child, or it's the death of a substitute. The death of a substitute, a death which caused them to be passed over. God ordained a provision for His people that night. God ordained a provision for His people, and He provided it by blood. It was a sure provision. It was a weighty, solemn provision. It was a blood provision. And this was the Passover. This was the zeal of the Lord for His people. God prepared a covering so that He wouldn't destroy His people. God prepared a provision so that He would not have to crush His people with His justice. It's not as though Moses found some loophole in the eternal decrees of the Godhead and found a way out of this judgment to come and say, hey, and showed it to His people, showed it to Israel. No, that's not what happened. God instructed Moses, I want you guys to escape this. I don't want you guys to be crushed. I want you guys to be passed over. So do this, and I won't destroy you. God loved His people. He didn't want to destroy them. So He Himself provided an escape, provided a covering. And if it's a provision of the Lord, it's going to work. If it's a provision of the Lord, it's going to work. He is intent on saving His people from Himself. If He says, this is how I'm saving you from Myself, He is going to save you from Himself. As long as you believe. We must believe in this blood. We must believe in the goodness of God behind the blood. And God has ordained, if we find in Romans 3, He has ordained the blood to make us at peace with Him. Romans 3, 23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Propitiation means to appease or to be appeased. God has appeased Himself by this blood so that He doesn't have to pour His wrath on us. God has truly appeased Himself. He's made a covering for us. He's given us safe passage through the judgment, a safe passage into His presence. And so Moses had faith that this would actually work. He had faith that this blood would actually be effective. He had faith that this blood will actually have them be passed over in the judgment. And so inside of Moses, we don't just see the fear of this destroyer coming. We don't see this in anticipation of the destroyer coming. Inside Moses, we find an unshakable confidence that this will keep us safe. That this blood will have us be passed over. This blood will work. Faith must see the promise of salvation. Faith is not just something that we want to do in order to escape judgment. Faith must see in God a God who is at peace with us. A God who has appeased Himself. A God who has provided redemption and deliverance and salvation. A God who is good. A God who says, I don't want to destroy you. I want you to escape this. We must see this by faith, otherwise we don't have faith at all. Moses had faith. The Scriptures go to great lengths to assure us of such a reality and of such a work that God has done on our behalf. And Moses saw this in God. And so Moses, by faith, kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood. The Israelites ate of this substitute lamb, ate of this substitute in expectation of deliverance. And so we too are to see that in God and feast. But our feast isn't by eating this bread necessarily physically. Our faith is believing. It's believing. That is how we keep the Passover, by believing in the finished work of Christ. We read that earlier in the service, John 6. The Bread of Life Discourse, Jesus says, in order to eat of Me, you must believe in Me. Come to Me. Believe in Me. This is how we keep the Passover. And if we consider Moses, he didn't sprinkle the blood. He didn't put the mark on their doors and then, just in case, ran off and hid in some cave in the hills. They weren't to leave the house, because that's the only place the blood was. They were not to go where the blood was not. And so they were to stay there. And he didn't have the people prepare the meal, sprinkle the blood, and then go hide in a closet in some back room, just in case, and board up the windows, just in case, in order to take those extra precautions. No, they were to trust. They were to be ready to go. And they were to trust that the blood would do its work. The blood alone was the covering. Their only covering from the horrors that were going on outside. And the blood alone was enough. We should take note of this. The blood is enough. It will do what it is designed to do. We don't have to, I think sometimes we think, you know, what I should do just in case, this faith in Christ is not enough, I should make sure I do enough work for the church or for my neighbor. I should make sure I do these things in order that in case the time comes, I can have some extra credit to give to God. As though we were in some kind of a college course and we want to do some extra credit throughout the semester just in case our grades start plummeting toward the end and we want to make sure we get a pass on it. And it's not going to work. If we trust in anything besides the blood of Jesus Christ, we will perish. God said, this is enough. This is going to work. This is what I've provided for you. Do you believe me? Do you believe that this is enough? Do you believe that I'm actually the one who provided this for you? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? We must have this in order to endure. The destroyer is coming. The destroyer is the Lamb of God. We find in Revelation. He is one who's going to come and return and judge the world with vengeance and justice. And his eyes see all things, visible and invisible. And if we are not banking all of our life on him and on his work, we will perish. We are not to shrink back at his coming. Maybe some of us think that, this blood that we've been marked with is only temporary. It's only a temporary consecration. It works for a little bit. But we must rededicate our lives every once in a while to God in order for it to keep it. We must remark that door and that lintel every once in a while in order so that when the destroyer comes, you can actually see the blood. It doesn't wear off. That's not how this works. It doesn't expire. It's a once-for-all consecration. It's a once-for-all cleansing. Maybe we think the blood will wear off after too much sin. We sin too much. And the blood just kind of starts to fade. Or maybe our sin is even louder than the blood is. And so they might see this blood, but they hear all the sin that's coming from us. This destroyer that comes and will say, you know, I can't even see the blood through all this sin that's coming out of this home. It's not trusting in the blood. We must trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus and that alone for our salvation. We must not doubt, but we must believe. We must press in. We must go to the cross evermore if our sin is getting louder to us to ask God to wipe it clean. We are speaking of the provision of God, and it is an everlasting thing. It is an everlasting thing. God does not want to lose or to destroy any that are his. Look to the trust of Moses and strengthen your faith in the blood of Jesus and that alone. And look to the God who has provided it for us. Verse 27, Christ is victor. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He left Egypt not fearing the anger of the king. You remember, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household. He knew Pharaoh. He knew his power. He knew his anger. He knew everything that Moses was capable of. He was raised there. He was acquainted with Moses and all his ways. He could see Moses. He could see Pharaoh just saying a word and then that word being accomplished. He could see the chariots charging at his command. But Moses was not afraid. Why? Why was Moses not afraid of this powerful, superpower dictator? Because he saw him who was invisible. Maybe it was at the time when he saw the burning bush. And he feared and ran. He had to take off his sandals because the ground he was walking on was holy. Moses had some incredible encounters with God and it changed everything for him. He
wasn't unwavering.
He wasn't wavering in his faith. He saw a glimpse of the holiness of God, the purity of God,
the love and steadfastness of God, the power of God, His glory.
And Moses says, there's nothing else to fear anymore. Now I have seen the one whom everything should fear. What are we to fear? Who are we to fear? What do we fear? We're not to fear the wrath of mortals. The wrath of deity alone is the one to whom we should bow and fear. We're not to fear the wrath of the beast. We find in Revelation we're to fear the wrath of the Lamb and respect that. If you would consider Revelation, if you read through the book of Revelation, you find how just a few angels can devastate the entire earth and all its population. Just a few celestial beings can devastate this entire planet. And yet the greatest of these angels, the greatest of these beings, cover their eyes and bow themselves before the Lord of glory. Consider what the angels can do, and consider their reaction when they see the Lamb seated on His throne. We are to fear God, and fear God alone. And once we fear Him, once we see Him, once we encounter this living God, we will find, I don't fear any anger of anything else. I don't fear the wrath of anything else. If we were to encounter God as Moses did, our faith would not shake. It would not waver. We would not doubt. But we doubt. We fear the anger and power of whatever pharaohs we might have, whatever things have power, dominion over us, whether it's our sin within us, or whether it's temptations from outside of us, or the devil himself. We fear. They said Pharaoh was a dictator of a world superpower. Think about in Moses' mind. We're going to have to fear this guy. We're going to have to flee this guy. Flee him on foot. He has chariots. We have feet. And that's it. Sandals with women and children. We won't get 10 miles away from him before he overtakes us. And he's going to be angry. You remember all these plagues. And some of the plagues, Pharaoh would tell Moses and the people, you just have to go. Just go, just go, just go. And then right away later he says, no, I'm not going to let you go. And he changes his mind, and then what would make him not change his mind this time? What would make him not change his mind this time? I wonder if they ever thought as they're running away from Pharaoh, he's going to come, he's coming after us, he's going to take us over. We're not going to make it to the end of Goshen before he gets here. And we think so often when we look at our sin, I mean, this is just too much to leave. It's too far for me to get away from this. Too much darkness, too much that needs to change. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. I can make it a week or 2 weeks, and it takes over me again. And I'm back to square one, it feels like. It's too far to go before I'm out of Pharaoh's reach. And I'm so far from resembling anything that's righteous or anything that's godly. And I read these godly men, I read these biographies of women and men from the past, and it sounds like it's tales from an entirely other world. How am I ever going to get there? What's even the point of trying? I cannot flee this. I cannot get away from this. We feel like Gollum, or maybe at best Bilbo or Frodo, and it's like, how can I release myself from the power of this thing that has dominion over me, this precious of mine that I cannot let go. There's no way. There is no way I can let go of these sins and these things. Then that Pharaoh inside of us, or that Pharaoh around us, starts mocking us. Starts mocking us. He won't leave. He can never walk away from this. He would never go. This sin is too much. You love this world too much. And if he did go, he'd be back. You're like the Israelites in the wilderness wanting to go back right away. You know, that's too much like you. And if you did go anyway, God would never forgive you. He would never take you in. And do you know what kind of laws He has? You can never do them. So what's the point? You can do what I say. You guys are fine here under my rule. You seem to be happy. You don't have to go to Him. And I'm too much of an enemy of His, and you're such a friend of mine, He would never take you in, because you're an enemy of His as well. And so these things start to taunt us and to mock us, and we feel like there's no way we can get out of this.
There's no way we can leave Egypt. There's no way we can even get to the Red Sea before we go back. I'm sure many of us have been very familiar with the schemes of the devil and his influences over us, and we feel like we've been intimate with him. We know very familiar with the power of our own sin. And whenever we think about going to serve the Lord Jesus, whenever we think about saying, you know what, I'm done with it, I'm going to go. I remember one time I used to smoke a lot. And I was on my way home and driving from college back home. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to be done with all of this. Threw the rest of what I had out the window. Got about 20 miles, stopped at a gas station, got some more. I thought, there's no way this power is going to be released from me. There's no way I'm going to be released from underneath this power. And so much of the time, that's how we are with our sin. And so we just give up. Say, what's the point? It's going to come after me. And then it starts mocking me when I try to leave and I can't. And I said, and it shows me, you know what? You're still under my dominion. You're still under my power. There's no way you can leave. It seems like the more we try to leave, the more it tries to tighten its grip on us. And they rage at us. And perhaps you know people who cannot seem to function or operate when things start going their way. Maybe people in addictions that are being released from addictions, or people just can never seem to get away from an abusive relationship, and they always go back to them, and they always go back to it, and they always go back to it, and you wonder, why is this going on? And I remember feeling the same way spiritually when I became a Christian. I saw this going on in other people physically. I saw these people who can never seem to let go of their addiction. They do good for a while. They go through a program, do good for a while, then they go back to it. And they felt so good, and they felt so free, and they felt so healthy when they're away from it. And you wonder, why do you go back to that? Or people in a relationship, an abusive relationship, they finally get free from it, but then they go back. And you wonder, why is that? And I started looking at it, seeing that in myself early on in my Christian walk, and I tasted of freedom and peace in my soul and joy. And then I get flustered or something, and I go back to my sin. I wonder, why is that? It's like I cross the Red Sea, but the chariots start coming after me again, and they overtake me to make me stumble, and they say, look, we still have dominion over you. You're still under our control, and you just feel like giving up. You feel like giving up, and you wonder, am I to stay in Egypt forever? Am I going to be here forever? Is this my home? We are not to stay forever. We are not to stay in Egypt forever. We have left if you are a Christian. And you are leaving still if you are a Christian. Our deliverer has come. Our deliverer has come. And he is coming. He has come if you're a Christian. He is still coming. So if you break free, your God will be with you. If you leave, your God will go with you. Don't fear the anger. Don't fear the doubts. Don't fear the temptations. Just go and your God will be with you. He will walk with you. He will hem you in front and in behind. Moses saw him who was invisible. He saw the destroyer coming. And one thing he must have thought is, Pharaoh's time is short. Pharaoh's time is short. The devil's time is short. That sin that's still in you, its time is coming to an end as well. So we can go. We can go forth. We can go out in the strength of our God. Moses knew this. He saw it and he walked in it. We must know this. We must see this. And we must, by faith as well, know that Christ is victor. He is victorious, and he is still going to bring us victory. He has brought us out of many things, and he will continue to bring us out of many things. No matter how powerful, how much dominion and influence that thing has over you, Christ is still victor. We have need of endurance. We have need of endurance. We must not be afraid, but we must take courage, take heart, and see him who is invisible we must endure. In a very short while, we will be leaving this place, this earth. The Son of Man is going to be returning with the glory of the Father and all His angels. And we're going to see Him. He came once to cleanse us of our guilt, to cleanse us of our sin. He is coming a second time, not to deal with our sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him, to liberate us fully. Will He find faith on this earth? Will He find faith in your heart? The faith of Moses, the faith who knows Christ is my Passover, my substitute. He is going to get me safely through that day of judgment. He's going to pass over me on that day of retribution and bring me into the presence of His glory with joy. And He is going to be victor over everything that's assailing me, everything that's ever gone against me. He is going to be victorious and set me free forever one day. Will He find that faith in your heart? And I hope He does. I hope He does. And we can look at someone like Moses and be encouraged by it and say, you know what, this is attainable. And Moses is there in that assembly of those saints cheering us on with their lives, saying, it's worth it. He's worth it. You can do this. We have done it, and you can as well. That Christ is worth it. So press on, endure, and trust in this Lamb of God.
Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. All other ground. My shepherd is, whose good Would you close us? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we, like Moses, that we can see that which is invisible. Those who are unbelieving, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is blinded unto them. But thanks be to you, your great mercy, that we can see. We can see by faith that which is invisible, that Jesus Christ is truly our redemption. He is our Passover lamb. The blood that he shed is on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins. And though we bear this treasure in jars of clay, we can still exit out of Egypt like Moses did. Because we have faith in that which is invisible to those who are blind, but we can see. And because we can see, we will press on and cling to our faith until the day is no longer unseen, but we can see it as it is. So help us carry on believing in you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Thank you.